In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus is disappointing. It's a strange way to begin the sermon. Jesus disappoints you. It's not something you really want to admit because it sounds so unholy. But Jesus is disappointing. We see this in our gospel reading today. It's been a busy day for Jesus and his disciples. That morning he was in the synagogue and Jesus teaches the people and he drives out an unclean spirit. Afterwards he goes to Peter's house where his mother-in-law is there, but she is sick in bed with a fever. Now, Middle Eastern people have a really highly developed sense of hospitality, and she must be feeling terrible about not being there to be able to prepare a meal for Peter and his friends. So Jesus heals her, and she is able to serve them. As the sun sets, the people of Capernaum come to Jesus, bringing those who are sick or oppressed by a demon. That evening, the whole city is gathered at the house. So much sickness, so much demonic possession, so much darkness. Jesus heals many of various diseases. He casts out many demons, forbidding them to speak. Before the sun comes up the next day, Jesus gets up early, sneaks out of town, finds a quiet place to pray. When the others get up and they can't find Jesus in the house, they go and look for him. There are a lot of people who want Jesus to heal more people and drive out more demons. And it sounds like the crowds are already gathering there at Peter's house. Crowds are waiting. But where is Jesus? All these people are going to be disappointed if Jesus doesn't come back and heal them all. Peter and the disciples know this. So when they find Jesus, how does he respond? Does he hurry back to Capernaum and make sure he doesn't disappoint anyone? No. Jesus said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." The people are left disappointed in Jesus. And you know that feeling. There's great darkness in Capernaum that day with all the disease, all the demons, all the troubles. You know the darkness. You live in the darkness of our present pandemic age with all its isolation and fear and sickness. You live in the darkness of this world with so much disease, so much suffering, so much brokenness, so much evil. So much death. Where is Jesus when you need him? Why doesn't Jesus heal everyone? Why doesn't Jesus get rid of all the darkness? In last week's sermon, we learned that Jesus has authority over Satan. Jesus has authority over the demons. This week, we see he has authority over disease. So why does Jesus allow evil, sickness, suffering, and death to even occur? It is a vexing question. Why does God allow evil? Why doesn't God just put an end to all the sickness and evil and death? Why doesn't God end this pandemic? Why, O Lord? Why is Jesus so disappointing? The truth is that what is most important to the people of Capernaum is not what is most important to Jesus. Jesus tells the disciples that he's going to other towns to preach. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. The people think Jesus' identity is healer and exorcist. But Jesus is so much more than a healer and an exorcist. He is the Savior. He is the sacrifice for the sins of the world. The people want Jesus to keep doing what he was doing, but Jesus has other things to do. And the people are disappointed. How often are you disappointed that God does not do what you want him to do when you want him to do it? What you want is a good thing, but what is most important to you is often not what is most important to God. Your timetable is not God's timetable. Isaiah 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord." And in Peter 3, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." This can be terribly frustrating, and it can feel like God has left you lonely and despairing, waiting at an empty house for Jesus while he's gone off to minister to someone else in another place. American Christianity often makes it seem that sadness and grieving and lament show lack of faith and have no place in the Christian life. The sense is that if you don't go from victory to victory, then something is wrong with your faith. That even if you mourn the death of a loved one, you're showing lack of conviction. If you pray for healing and the healing doesn't come, there must be a problem with you and your belief. But the truth is that the world is full of trouble. Your life is full of trouble. And it is indeed good, right, and salutary to lament the sickness and evil and death in the world and in your own life. It is not a sin to cry out to God in loneliness and despair, "How long, O Lord?" King David does it. He cries out in Psalm 6, "My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long?" Psalm 13, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me?" Psalm 130, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy." It is fully acceptable to grieve over the brokenness of the world. Faithful Christians mourn disease, lament over evil, grieve death. Matthew 5, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." Faithful Christians sorrow over this pandemic. Crying out to God in lament does not show lack of faith, but rather it shows great faith. Because despite disease and evil and death, you still know that God is in charge. You cry out to the Lord. Jesus does not promise to heal every disease right away. He does not promise to stop all evil immediately. He does not promise that no one will die. He does promise to eliminate sickness, evil, and death when he returns in glory on the last day. He promises you in your baptism that you belong to him and you are in the kingdom of God right now. He promises to forgive you all your sins. He promises to pour out his forgiveness upon you from this altar with his body and blood given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. When you die, your spirit goes to be with the Lord, and your body waits to be raised from the dead when Jesus returns. He promises that by his death on the cross, your sins are forgiven. And that by his resurrection, you will be resurrected and will live with him forever in the heavenly city of New Jerusalem. Jesus does and can heal. The disappointed people of Capernaum rejoice when Jesus returns after a few days and he preaches to them and heals their sick. When you are sick or troubled, when your loved one is sick, when you see evil in the world, bring it to the Lord. Pray for healing. Pray for comfort. Pray for God's will to be done. And when Jesus disappoints you, cry out in lament, "How long, O Lord?" Confident that God is God, and despite the darkness in this world, you remain the apple of his eye. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.